Turtle Myrtle. Turtle Myrtle. Turtle Myrtle.
I really wish I could add back that echo sound so the audience could hear it.
I was just reading about Jeffrey Bezos.
Were you now?
Yeah.
Is it a surprise that we're going to go into space twice in a row?
No. Why would it be? It's the talk of the town. It's the lay of the land.
Is it? I feel like it's not even the most exciting thing that's happened this week so far.
Can I tell you about my favorite part of Jeff Bezos going into space?
As long as it says penis ship.
His brother can be heard once hitting zero gravity saying, "Would anyone like a Skittle?"
I was really hoping you were going to say
that's very interesting to me.
He was the guy saying happy, happy, happy.
Because why are we allowed to take Skittles to space if we don't know what they'll do?
It's literally his spaceship. This was our whole point, right? They can do whatever they want. It's his spaceship.
Yeah.
So therefore, he can take fucking Skittles to space.
I bet he got paid to say that, too.
I don't think so.
I'm thinking Skittles going to be giving him some money.
I think if there were branding opportunities, Jeff Bezos would have made use of those. Because I haven't watched any of this. I don't want to watch any of this, but I've seen some news coverage of this. And I guess there was a Blue Origins extravaganza. It wasn't like the news was covering it. It was just Blue or whatever the fuck that company is named.
Blue Origin.
Space coverage.
Seems like fake news.
I mean, I'll give him this. At least he did it in a rocket, and that's slightly cooler than an airplane.
Yeah. It's not something he just like fell off of an airplane in.
Yeah. And to be fair, he actually did then fall.
Yeah, that's true. This is true.
Richard Branson just took an airplane to space.
You change his name every time you say his name. It's Richard Branson.
Bronson.
Yeah, Action Bronson.
Yeah. It's also, I think, a British
hip-hop
criminal
person. Oh.
There's a Tom Hardy movie about it, or Tom, whatever the fuck his name is. I don't care. I've never met any of these people, so I have no... I can barely do names as is, so I really don't care.
That made me cough. Whatever you just had happen, that made me cough. That was weird.
Oh, that's good. That's what we're here for. Weird.
Yeah, weird.
And this isn't a good start, so welcome to the show.
What other news do you have?
I don't know. I mean, did you hear what he said afterwards? I feel like there's not as much as
what
we discussed
happened?
Last
that
week.
Was as exciting as space.
But, well, we covered a lot of it yesterday and nothing, or last week. And I feel like nothing has changed since then. We,
right.
Humans, are doing less than we were doing 40 years ago or 60 years ago or whenever the fuck we got to the moon. But did you hear what he said, where he said that Amazon customers and employees...
Yes, I did. I heard that.
...paid for this. And I feel like... I feel like he's not a...
That's a little rude, kind of, right?
Yeah, he's not a student of history. I'll say that. I don't believe that he is a student of history. Or maybe it's just like that American history doesn't have... you know, revolutions that end in the rich being put to guillotines and such.
This just seemed like a really rude thing, like a way to rub it in their face. Like, thanks, peasants. I went to space.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's that he's admitting that he's like, yeah, I took your money and your value and I converted it into my joy.
Oh yeah. I mean,
like
if he would have
thanked his customers, that's one thing. Right.
He did thank his customers.
Sure. No, I know. But like, you know, you don't thank employees verbally, really. It's an exchange. So he's admitting that he's winning in that exchange.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's a put down to, like, I don't pay you enough, and you do so much work for me that I can literally take your money and go to space.
I underpay you so much money that I can build a space penis.
Yes, a space penis.
And fly that to goddamn. And then what's he doing wearing a cowboy hat the entire time?
I don't know.
Is he a space cowboy now?
That's like, what I said.
Like, what is this? Does he think he's on the pinnacle of something? Because as we discussed last week, he's about 70 years behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Sean's not happy right now.
I know. Well, I gave him an opportunity to come on this podcast.
To retort.
And to retort. And to give live feedback before today. And he refused. He refused.
Yeah, he did refute your invitation.
He did. He came up with an excuse. A cowardice excuse in my mind.
Well, I didn't say it, but shout out to Sean for me not saying that.
Well, I'm just waiting for the text tomorrow at like 9:10.
9:15.
On that particular subject.
So what else happened? Anything cool? I saw the long wheelbase Cherokee, Grand Cherokee. Kevin had one of those. Saw that.
Yeah.
Saw that.
Have you not seen any, are there not any driving around in the regular world?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't. I drive to work and then I come home.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
I don't do a lot of out going around.
But I mean, you have a fairly large commute in comparison to my 5-foot commute.
I don't see a lot of. I mean, I see a lot of Jeeps. Plenty of like the whatever the smaller one is. What's the small one?
Compass.
No, not that small.
Cherokee.
Yeah. I see a lot of the squinty-eyed Cherokees.
Squinty? I always thought they kind of looked like a hippo or some sort of whale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, sure.
You know, I that's what I kind of got out of it.
I see a lot of those. That's the main thing I see.
There's a lot of them in the world to be found and but owned by all sorts of individuals.
I don't know who the target market is for like a $75,000 Jeep Grand Cherokee L, 3-row with like rear seat television screens and massaging seats and fold down buckets and stuff like that.
Didn't you used to work at Mercedes-Benz?
Yeah, and we didn't sell those to anybody but Russia. We sold them directly to Russia. No one in America bought those.
Yeah, that's because, but that is the difference, right? The people who are like, oh, I want this G-Wagon. But they want America, and they don't want to look like a communist.
No,
or a Russian, pretty much.
See, we sold a lot of G wagons. We didn't sell a lot of GLSs, which is like the Grand Cherokee SUV.
Oh, okay. Thing. Yeah, they. I don't think they look as good for one. I'm trying to think where I see one. I see one at work because we're benchmarking it. That's where I've noticed it from.
I am not a fan of Mercedes SUVs. I'll just say that.
I'm going to assume that excludes the G-Wagon, or does that include
the
G-Wagon?
No, that's including the G-Wagon. I very much dislike the G-Wagon.
Why do you dislike the G-Wagon? Because I feel like that's the one that's controversial for you to say.
I like the G-Wagon in that it has a lot of like off-roady technology. Yep. I don't like that it's like lumbery, it's huge, and it doesn't have any room inside.
Okay.
Like, the seat all the way back, my knees are almost touching the steering wheel.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like you in a way. It's very lanky.
Yeah, like professional athletes get them, and they have to send them to Chicago to have the seats moved farther back because they're too close. And they have to professionally lengthen the rail, and then the back seat's useless because with me sitting in it, an adult can't sit behind it.
Well, I feel like the only thing a G-Wagon has going for it is headroom.
Yeah, yeah, it does have a lot of headroom.
Because it's just tall. It's not really that long or that wide.
Right, right.
Because it was,
right.
I mean, it was built, I mean, the exterior of it hasn't changed in 40 years, so.
It's more so that you sit so upright.
Okay.
And kind of like, there's no, you know, like a typical
like a military
car.
Vehicle.
Yeah, you know, like a typical car, the HVAC box is in front of your knees behind the dash.
Okay.
But in the G-Wagon, it's not. All that stuff's in the engine bay. So you sit, like, against a firewall. So there's not really, like, anywhere to, like, put your legs. It's sort of like the bus, but less comfortable.
I don't know. I'd have to sit in one to determine that.
Yeah,
fact,
you should sit in one because it's not... It's like the bus, but you're not sitting over the wheels. You're just sitting in an awkward position. I don't like them. Obviously, a lot of people do. They're very popular.
So there's a genuine reason why American automakers succeed at SUVs then. At least the really big ones.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that, well, I've driven a new Explorer and I don't like those either, but
I wouldn't consider an Explorer a big SUV. Well, I guess that's probably competing with a Grand Cherokee, but I guess I'm thinking like
a Suburban,
the GMC one.
Yeah. The GMC Denali Yukon XL. Yeah. Those or like an Excursion.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they make Excursions anymore, but they make Expeditions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. And then,
yeah, those are all big, but they make a Lincoln version of that. I don't.
Yeah. And then of course the Escalade XL.
Yeah. And I don't like any of those for the fact that they're cheap American cars, but I do agree that they've got that market.
Well, but
down.
Some of them aren't cheap American. I mean, that's actually the success of the American automakers is they've, you know, they always have, we have the cheap version.
Yeah.
Which we'll sell to everyone. And then we have the higher trim models.
Yeah, but they still feel cheap.
I don't.
You don't get a different door panel in an Escalade that you get in a Tahoe. You just
I think they made the Tahoe door panels better. For that reason, though, I know that on Jeeps at least the base trim on the Jeeps is
it's not the same
door panel, but like they've done a much better job of being able to make the same base door panel different.
With different trims.
Yeah, and then like you know all of the stuff that can't be changed just has to be better for that reason. You know, maybe it's not fucking. Although I'm assuming the interior on a G-Wagon isn't all that great, but.
The new ones, the new, like, 2021s aren't terrible.
But I mean, if you take away all the trim and, like, the armrest covers and everything that's removable from the door panel, I feel like at the end of the day, that door panel is still that kind of soft touch, yet hard plastic that rips real easy.
On the G-Wagon, it was all mostly leather.
So they wrap the whole plastic panel in leather.
Yeah, there's no plastic in the G-Wagon. Okay. It's all leather or vinyl or whatever.
Okay.
Leatherette, whatever they call it.
I mean, I guess you get away with that. Then I don't know what the other ones do to compare. Although I don't know why you'd really want that in most functionality.
Well, you wouldn't. Because that's my point, is that the G-Wagon is just, it's confused about what it is.
Okay.
Why have all that off-road functionality but then sit in an S-Class, you know what I mean? Because you're not going to take it off-roading because you'll get your leather dirty or your multifunction, your
well, I think it's for Russia.
Multifunction display.
It's Russia. I mean, what's the movie, Dogs of War or something? Or any movie about
Russia.
The former Soviet Union? Where it's like Russia. No road, pothole big.
Yeah.
Dirty, wet, muddy. Neglected infrastructure, and it's like you can ride in comfort as you need your off-roading ability. That's probably where the Touareg was also designed for.
Yeah, in Saudi Arabia.
That as well.
Were we about to sneeze?
No. I just had a thought, though. I had an interesting thought
on
SUV development that we could talk about. Did you know this about VW buses?
Okay.
And how VW buses became all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. I don't know the differentiation between those two, so everyone forgive me for that.
All-wheel drive typically is all wheels all the time. Four-wheel drive is typically two and then two.
But I thought for it to be four-wheel drive, it has to be like a hard disconnect. like a clutch or some sort of mechanical separation.
Yeah. Complete all-wheel drive is mechanical all separation. All-wheel drive. Yeah.
All-wheel. Well, okay. So what's like an R32 where it's not always there, but when it wants to be, it can.
Well, it's always there.
Okay.
Because you're not supposed to, and there's guys that are going to refute me on this, but
okay.
According to the manufacturer, you're not supposed to drive an all-wheel R32, A4, RS3 on a two-wheel drive dyno. You can,
yeah,
but you're not supposed to because
it probably wouldn't work well.
Well, it's hard on the clutch, yeah.
Oh, I can understand that. Okay, but that's different than a Subaru. Like a Subaru is mechanically hard connected.
Yeah, like
the center diff isn't a
sort of not really. It doesn't have a transfer case. It's still got a viscous coupler.
No, well, but that viscous coupler.
I guess it depends on the Subaru. I guess I'm thinking of like a Forester, but you're probably talking about like a WRX.
Well, I'm just talking about most of them. But like the whole idea of a Subaru is they're not trying to do any fanciness like they try and do with some of these all-wheel drive cars these days.
Yeah.
Okay, but. Okay. So, anyway,
if you lift them both in the air and you press the gas, yeah, all four wheels are going to turn on both models. That's my point.
Yes, but if you
lift up a pickup
on the if you put a torque on the rear wheels, it's going to act much different on a Subaru in comparison to a R32.
No, probably not. Because the coupler is going to kick in and it's going to be locked.
Okay. But if you're able to take up all the torque with the front wheels on an R32, it will do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't. There's magic fancy. Anyways. So I don't understand this. I just think 4x4, clutch disconnect.
I always thought 4x4 was selectable.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a
two-wheel drive car like a Jeep. That you can put into four-wheel drive.
Yes,
yeah.
Jeep, trucks, those are 4x4s. They're not all-wheel drive. Anyways, so I don't know what... I'm trying to remember what these buses did. But so is everyone here familiar with a Vanagon Synchro?
I am, and I'm waiting for the people in the back to answer because you said everyone, and it's just me and you. But yes.
Well, you know, we've got... people here.
We have 100,000 listeners now. So
anyways, I read about this. It was, I don't remember where it was, but in the 60s or in the 70s, 60, you know, late 60s, 70s, bay window period. For those who aren't aware, bay window, the Little Miss Sunshine buses. But anyways, so the guy who was in charge of transporter development, Gustav Meyer, I don't know which. Anyways, so this guy was like a genuine, like, in my mind, bus guy.
Okay.
Because he took his bus took these VW buses. He's the head of, and he would modify them so he could go travel in the Sahara Desert.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a German, drives around to the Sahara Desert, or probably buses or boats, this little thing there. And I guess what he would do is he would just go and he would try and build his own parts from what they had and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably he got to a point where in secret, he actually built a four-wheel drive, or I don't know, four-wheel drive. This is the thing I want to confirm.
Yeah, I see it. I see what you're looking at, I think.
There's a Hagerty article on this. And I'm trying to remember if it was using
It's four-wheel drive, because it looks like it has a torque tube that goes to the front. Or not a torque tube, but like a... I guess it's like a torque tube.
Well, it's definitely four-wheel drive, but I don't know if it's a four... I'm trying to remember if it's a... it's a torsion diff, or if it was that other one,
like a selectable gearbox.
Yeah, I don't remember this. But anyways, he did this after he was told not to, or to stop investing money into it because late 70s was a bad time for VW. But I don't know. I wish I could go back in time and work for this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, like the guy in charge of a brand actually like just, oh, I'm going to make my own parts so I can go to take this two-wheel drive bus and make it so I can go to fucking Sahara Desert with it. Like, you don't hear a lot of development stories like that.
Yeah. But that would have been, I feel like that would have done well, but I agree with the time frame not being a great time frame for that.
Well, I mean, I guess it didn't do well, because I think we think about it, and then, like, you know, mid-80s, Synchros came out.
Yeah, but the Synchro didn't have the same following, I don't think. You know, the bus was kind of like this hippie movement type thing, and then the Synchro came out, and it felt like, to me, more rugged, more rural, more militarized.
I think the hippie movement doesn't... I think this comes back to, like, new car buyers versus used car buyers.
I see what you're saying.
And I don't think the people buying buses...
Were hippies.
So, like, right. In 1976, people buying the buses weren't hippies. And I think the same thing could be said about, you know, 1986 or whatever, you know, 10 years later.
Yeah, when the Vanagon came out.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you wanted something that was four-wheel drive, you got a truck. There were many options about that. Mm-hmm. Or they had vans. I guess there were a lot of vans at this time, too. I mean, this is, you know,
that would have been the 80s van craze, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was, like, started in the probably early 70s. I don't know. We'd have to get someone old on the show.
Which would be cool to have.
An old person on the show?
No. A van, an 80s van. Ashley has an 80s van.
Who's Ashley?
My brother's girlfriend.
Ah, okay.
That she's restoring.
Do they go van lifing? Are they van lifers?
Air quote. Not yet. It needs work.
Ah. But that's the goal? The ultimate goal for their van lifing experiences?
Yeah, van life. Bubble window.
Bubble. I guess you can buy vans really cheap now. Now that all the people are returning to all the van lifers who left the real world during COVID are now selling their van lives.
Oh, really? Is this true?
And you can buy them cheap. It was an article on Jalopnik. I don't know how true it is because Jalopnik's really a fucking shit show, but...
That would be very interesting if, like... Is there going to be, like, a flood of campers and shit? That'd be awesome to see.
I don't think campers. I think people love campers. Like, RVs and shit.
They sold 500,000 more... I told you that. They sold 550,000 more campers last year than...
Yeah. I think that's going to continue a while. Because, like, you can't go on vacation to the normal places without it being just hellaciously busy.
Yeah.
So, like, RVs kind of solve that problem a little bit. So I feel like that's going to continue for a couple years. And then, like, it's not like it was decreasing beforehand. It's not like the RV industry was on its knees and then COVID hit and revived it.
Right.
People love RVs.
I'm reading the article just now. Van lifers are parting ways with their vans as the world reopens. That's hilarious.
I know, right? I went through it just to see if there were any VW ones, and there weren't, and then I gave up. Hmm. Although that market hasn't quelled at all.
What market?
The VW bus market.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose not. I don't know that it will it?
I don't know.
Is there a breaking point at some point?
Probably not. I mean, they're getting rarer and rarer, and people are getting dumber and dumber, and people are, you know, just willing to spend absurd amounts of money. So it's like I'm just gonna give up at this point, probably.
I just don't see why something that's so popular then would just drop off all of a sudden.
Well, but I mean, the price-wise just went nutty for whatever reason. It's really insane how giving all these people money is really just, I'm going to assume that's what's causing it. I don't know, but anybody who's willing to take on probably an amount of debt, because you're not getting buses for $4,000, but maybe you can get a loan for $4,000.
For a bus.
For a bus, yes. Well, you just, you know, don't have to tell anyone.
Yeah, just don't tell them. I don't think they like giving loans for cars that aren't...
Well, you can get a personal loan, obviously, at a higher...
Interest rate.
Interest rate and right. such, but...
Hmm. Wow. I'm still kind of shocked by the space thing and how he's wearing that weird hat. Sorry, I was browsing the Jalopnik. You took me there.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'm appreciative of your hatred and confusion of his hat.
Yeah, I guess I just don't really get... Like, he didn't say anything real cowboyish.
Nope. He just said, I took all your money and I wasted it going to space for 1 second. He didn't even go there that long.
The edge of space. It was a 10-minute flight.
The edge of space for a few minutes. Not even a few minutes. I think it was a few seconds.
Pop in, like, pop out.
It's not even, like, I don't know how nobody got a picture. Like, how are there no pictures of, like, I think that might help their cause if they took pictures of what the Earth looks like from where they are.
Their but they're not. Vantage point?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like, everyone looks back on that one photo of the Earth. Yeah. Right? From, like, the Apollo where, whatever.
Yeah, the one where everyone's like, wow, look at it, it's majestic. But I don't think they're far enough away to get that photo.
Well, but I think that would... Okay, then that would just prove my point and our point on they're not going to space. He took a penis to the upper atmosphere. And no one cares. Or no one should care. I think that's the point. Like everyone, like, there's all these people. Like, this is where Sean is the enemy of the people here. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, we should all be... He's like one of these people... Who's on the internet saying we should all get together and be excited that in 2 weeks or within 2 weeks,
billionaires have gone to space.
Yeah, 2 billionaires have gone. We should all get together and be excited for this. And it's like, no, we shouldn't. One, not doing anything all that impressive.
Yeah.
Two, they're rich assholes.
Okay.
As proven by Jeff Bezos' own comments.
I find it hard to believe, I find it hard to be excited about them going to space just for the sheer fact that I still don't really feel like they went all the way to space.
They didn't even do anything there. They just, like, went there. It, like...
I mean, I know they did, but...
Well, I mean, they went there, but, like, again, they went to the end of the pier.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't feel right.
It's nothing exciting. It's not like, and it's not like this is the first time anybody's done it. We've done it before.
I have not done it.
Sure, but in general, society has.
This is true. Would you do it?
No.
Would you stay in a space hotel?
Matters what kind of space hotel.
Let's say it's a space hotel with zero gravity.
Yes, I'm more apt to do that.
Really?
Is it the International Space Station?
No, it's a completely new space hotel. You sound reluctant.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm more apt... I like the idea of going to the International Space Station more than most things. I don't know.
I don't think I would do it. It'd have to be proven pretty well. I don't trust man-made stuff.
You trust cars.
Yeah, but I'm not... There's not a situation where I'm in a car that I couldn't get out of a car.
That's,
if you're in space and something goes wrong, you can't just open the door and get out.
It's literally die. Not true. That's not how fire works.
Fireworks?
Like, fireworks. You can definitely be... You could... Again. More people die. Like, we've just normalized dying in cars.
Yeah, but my point is, if I crash a car, even if I break both my legs and the door somehow opens or the windshield... breaks out, I can still get out of the car. I could crawl out using my hands and no legs and get out of the car. If I get hit by a pebble in space, I will die. So it's not the same. If a paint flake hits you in space, it'll tear your spacesuit open and you will be sucked into an amoeba.
I think your fears here are...
I'm just saying, you're taking something from a government standpoint.
Yeah. No, I'm taking things from a statistical standpoint.
Yeah,
you're taking, to be fair, right, wrong, or indifferent, you are taking this from an emotional belief that you somehow, that the car offers you protection for whatever reason.
I'm not saying the car offers
more than the station.
I'm saying the atmosphere offers me protection.
Yeah, but then why get in the car? But the atmosphere has nothing to do with the car.
No, but the point is, I can get out of the car into the atmosphere. I can't get out of the other man-made thing.
Sure. But the chances of, if you take your spaceship to space, of getting in this space accident is much less than the car in... And it, you know, for you to die...
I see what you're saying.
...in a
car
crash, you don't necessarily need to be ripped to shreds. You could just be hit real hard.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. The likelihood of one happening is higher than the other happening, but the point is that I can't just step outside. Even if, let's just say, not even because I'm in an accident, just there's no breath of fresh air. You know? It's like riding in a car, and then you're like, when are we there? And you never get there because you can never get out of the car. You're always in the car. You'll be in the car forever.
Okay. I'm going to change topics. So this is the question that I wanted to have answered relative to today.
Okay.
And this is the question I posed to people that refused to come on our podcast.
Who is this?
I think you know.
Okay.
Sean.
Okay.
and let's see where we stand on this. But will these assholes... So doing this, so everyone's like, okay, so everyone who is for these assholes being excited about this are
mm-hmm.
under the impression that somehow these assholes, and I think we can all agree they're assholes, right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't like Jeff Bezos, but I don't really
Richard
know
Bronson, Richard Branson. His name. They're all just assholes at this point.
Okay.
But will they... actually make this, will they make space cooler or better or anything positive for the majority of society, or will they just make life suck more in general?
I kind of contemplated this. Is this going anywhere positive?
Yeah. Is there any value other than their egos, pocketbooks, and general dick swinging that will come from this?
Because they're not inventing the space pillow or the automatic toothbrush or whatever the
upside
stuff that
down
they've
pen.
Come up with. Yeah, the upside down pen. Exactly. See, they're not innovating.
No, they're just taking their dicks.
What they're doing is they're cutting costs. Well, they're cutting costs.
Yeah, that's all they're doing.
They're shaving weight.
Okay.
And they're reducing what is needed to get to space just so they can capitalize on it.
Well, I think they're able to do that because they're not going as far.
That's my point exactly.
But, like, who cares if you only go to space for 10 seconds? Like, is that... Does anybody really... Like, is that really... I don't know. Gonna make the world that much better?
They're cutting corners.
Not that they're cutting corners. Just like, does anything come of this that's good, other than for themselves?
Yeah, to help humanity. I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Or is it?
I would like to hear Sean's opinion, and I feel like we're definitely gonna hear it tomorrow morning.
Oh,
definitely.
We're gonna hear this at like 10:45. Because of how he listens.
But it's, for those that don't know, we put out a podcast episode every week, and we get a response typically from 1 to 2 people every week, which is good.
That's, I get a couple.
Yeah, I get a couple. I like it. I'm into it.
I just don't see how it's I feel like they're going to make it worse. They're going to somehow ruin it. Like, it's just going to turn into this thing. It's going to turn into this thing. Like, it's just going to be worse for poor people, I feel like.
It's going to make the separation gap bigger, you think? Or, yeah. Like, what do you mean? I guess, what do you mean?
Okay, so...
like, they're going to rain their space junk down on our houses?
Maybe. But I think of this. I think of this. This is the best analogy. And this is going to seem petty, but I think this really speaks volumes about society. So, do you remember, was this a thing in Lincoln? So I remember in elementary school that everyone had Okoboji t-shirts and shirts. Like after we got back from summer break.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And for those who aren't aware, Okoboji is this lake town in northwest Iowa, big lake town, big summer kind of town. And it was pretty much just the rich kids that went there. Like, all the rich kids went there. But there were so many rich kids where I went that it was like, I couldn't process. I'm like, why? Obviously, I wasn't friends with the rich kids. I didn't understand. What is this Okoboji?
Yeah.
Because one, it sounds weird. And I feel like all we're doing is we're setting society up that we're going to take all these asshole kids to
they're all
Okoboji.
Gonna come back with space camp shirts.
Yeah, they're gonna be. I went to the outer atmosphere, but it's gonna be like I'm an astronaut. Asterisk.
Yeah.
And it's gonna turn into like they're gonna think it's just they're gonna think that they're an astronaut, when in reality there ain't shit. And it
they're gonna be Blue Origin a-holes.
Yeah, it's just gonna create a more societal bullshit.
Yeah, counter to that point.
Okay.
People like you and I won't care.
But we're funding it. We're fundamentally funding it.
I'm not funding it.
No, you are though.
I don't buy from Amazon, so I'm.
You don't even have to buy from Amazon. You're still funding.
And I don't have a T-Mobile phone.
I think he's Virgin.
Virgin. I don't have a Virgin phone.
Well, I mean, but like from a tax perspective, you are. You're paying more taxes than that asshole who went to space. Maybe you're not, but like, you know, proportionally.
Probably, yeah. Well, yeah,
Amazon doesn't pay any taxes. Amazon pays less taxes than you.
Yeah, and I don't make enough to figure out a way out of taxes.
Sure, but like. But that's the fundamental problem of it, right? He's able to fund his spaceship and then give some money, a small amount of money away. Because obviously he's aware of this problem, because during his talking head ceremony afterwards, you know, he gave out like $200 million or whatever.
Yeah, which sounds nice, but it's just a write-off.
Yeah, and it's like we're not
doesn't this ever feel weird to you? Doesn't it feel weird that we've cheapened donations to just like we always chalk it up like, oh, so and so donated. It's like we just chalk it up to like that's a write off.
Yeah. It is. Cuz the charities aren't even very good themselves for the most part.
Right.
Most charities are set up to be funding organizations for rich kids.
Like, I gave $20 to $25 to Dustin Poirier's thing after the McGregor fight last week.
Who is that? Oh, he's the fighter who broke Conor McGregor's face and leg? Okay. And what does his money go to, though?
He uses that money to help his charity get other things to people they need. Like, he actually has a hand. His wife runs it. He actually has a hand in it. So it's not like a giant corporation.
That's not necessarily a good thing, though. I don't necessarily... Just because you have a hand in it doesn't mean it should be something that should be trusted.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That actually makes it worse.
Well, not always, though. Because I don't think they take any money from it or anything, because he makes money off fighting. And then the money that they take from the thing goes directly to helping other people.
Okay. Or maybe, but, I mean, maybe in his case it does, but.
Yeah, yeah, but I know what you're talking. It's not like a Red Cross deal where it's like, I gave $25 to Red Cross and that went into, like, the CEO's fuel tank for that day or something,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I just,